Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament book of 1 Peter. And while you're turning to the New Testament book of 1 Peter, let me ask you a question. What phrase in all of human history do you think frightens Satan the most? There is one phrase in all of the history of the world that absolutely terrifies the very person of Satan. Whenever you say the phrase, the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no phrase more powerful, because Satan knows that there is no phrase that is more needed in the reality of every single human being in the world than the appropriation of the blood of Jesus Christ. Whenever you look at the phrase the blood or the word the blood all throughout the Bible, you'll find that the word blood is mentioned 427 times in the Old Testament. It's 84 times in the New Testament. And when you find a word that many times in the Bible, you know that God has put it there for a very significant reason. And you know, you talk to individuals and you ask people about how would you say you go to heaven? And it's amazing the answers that you'll get from friends and neighbors and relatives of yours and mine. They'll say something like this: well, I guess the way you go to heaven, you just do the best you can, and hopefully God will outweigh the good and the bad, and he'll take you to heaven. Or you'll just hear somebody else say, well, you know, the way that I understand you go to heaven, you keep the Ten Commandments. And then somebody else will say, well, you know, I don't curse, and I don't do all those things, so surely God will outweigh the good and the bad. One young fella, he didn't really know how to say it. He just put it this way: well, I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't run around with those that do. And he thought that that's what was sufficient enough for him to go to heaven. But the truth about it is this: every one of us have need of the blood of Jesus Christ. In just a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating Easter Sunday, and there's always something special every single year at this time, because it's not just the breaking of the season from winter into spring, but it's the reality of this. We know, as born-again believers, if you're a child of God, we're not serving somebody that is dead. We're not serving somebody that is in a tomb someplace. We serve a risen Savior. Amen? As our young people sang last night and did the glow gloves, you know, he is alive. And whenever you look at the backdrop, but when you look at the resurrection, you can't look at the resurrection without looking at the very reason that Jesus Christ went to the cross. And that is exactly to give his life's blood for you and me. Now, the word blood isn't really, you know, user-friendly when you hear somebody talking about it. I don't know if you've ever been in an operating room or if you've ever been in a hospital and somebody's bleeding. But you know, sometimes that has to be a reality in some of your lives. Some of you are nurses and you work around that. But whenever you see blood, it's really not that exciting. I know some people, you know, whenever they see blood dropping, you know, in an IV or whatever, when a person has to be given blood, they'll almost pass out. But in the very economy of God is this: you and I need the shed blood of Jesus Christ because of what God has said about you and me and who we are really. And so in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 21, I want you to listen carefully, because Peter is telling the audience that he's speaking to how you and I were redeemed by God. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Now, when Peter is talking to this audience, to these saints of God, he said, I want you to understand There is one hope for you and for me, and that is only in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, there is a lot of preaching and there is a lot of teaching going on out there in the world, but you and I need to come back to one sobering reality, and it's this. Our life is very finite, and at longest, it's very short. And somewhere out there, hanging over the horizon of your life and my life, is the conclusion of your life. Someday, you're going to come to the end of your physical life, and you're going to walk out of this life into eternity. Based on what you have done with the shed blood of Jesus Christ will be the determining factor of your eternity. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, people say, well, I don't really know if the blood of Jesus Christ is man's greatest need. Well, you and I need to be reoriented to the facts of the truth of the Word of God, because the Bible says the blood of Christ is your greatest need, is my greatest need, for the very simple reality of what happened to man. You know, you don't have to look very long in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, to find out what our problem is. Now, there's some people that will say this, well, I am not really that bad of a person. And I understand that argument, and I hear that, but here is one problem with every single one of us, and it's this. You was born into the world as a sinner. And, you know, the Bible makes it abundantly clear in the book of Genesis chapter 2 what happened when Adam and Eve sinned. The Bible says in Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. God told Adam, and God told him, said, when you eat of this tree, you're going to end up dead. There's going to be a reality if you choose to violate my word, you're going to die. And you know what happened. Adam and Eve, they ate of the forbidden fruit, and she gave it to her husband, Adam, and something horrible happened over the reality of their life. Up to that point, they knew absolutely no limitations to their life. They didn't have to worry about death, but the Bible says of that day and hour when they ate, there was this sobering reality that came into their life and into their body. They knew they were going to die. And that's what you know too. Every one of us don't have to be convinced, none of us have to be convinced that we're going to die. You know somewhere in your life you're going to die. Sometimes, you know, if you're like me, sometimes I wonder. I travel so much and I'm on the road so much, I thought, Lord, is it going to be that somebody's going to blindside me and somebody's going to hit me? I don't dwell on that very long, but sometimes when you travel so much, or, you know, do you think, you know, maybe you have a pain or this or that. Is it going to be a heart attack? Is it going to be cancer? Because here is something every one of us know, we are going to die. And let me tell you a sobering reality that really hits home. With the number of us that are in this sanctuary this morning, one of us will not be here next year at this time. You know why? Because the statistics reveal that one out of every 113 people die. In other words, next year at this time, probably one of us will not be here. The latest statistics that was revealed shared this in a year's death, 2,437,116 deaths per year. In other words, before this year is over, there'll be that many deaths or more. Because here's the sobering reality. No matter how much you do to your body, no matter you can exercise, and sometimes I've heard it's even dangerous to exercise, you can hurt your body. But you know, you can watch what you eat, you can watch what you drink, you can get enough rest, go to bed at 10 o'clock and get up at 6 o'clock, or go to bed at 8 o'clock and get up at 4 o'clock, whatever time you want to go to bed. And you can get enough sleep. You know, prior to lights years ago, they said that the average person slept 10 hours. I guess that's good. I can't imagine sleeping that long. But you know, you can take care of your body. You can do everything you want to. But here's the reality you know about your life. You know you're going to die. And the Bible makes it very clear that on the next side of life is your eternity. Not this side of life, but on the other side of life is your eternity. The Bible tells you what type of eternity you're going to have based on what you do. But the Bible says you have need of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible says this. You know, when it comes to that person who rejects the blood of Jesus Christ, listen to what it says. For as in Adam, all die. That is God's word. Every one of us, if we stay in Adam, If you never accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're going to die. The Bible says in Luke 13, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. John 10, 28, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you hear the word perish in both of those verses? There is something at stake in your life and my life, and it is our soul. You are a living soul. You're a living soul that will live for all of eternity. The Bible says in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, there is one man that Jesus gives a testimony about. Jesus tells this about him. He said, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, I want you to notice three things about that testimony, just that one verse. That man is alive. You're going to be very much alive on the other side of life. You're going to be conscious. There's no idea, this idea of soul sleep is absolutely not consistent with the Word of God. You're going to be aware of your environment. And if you choose to reject the shed blood of Jesus Christ, listen, and that's the way the world is living. You say, well, I just, you know, there's a lot of people that don't believe it's important to be saved. That's exactly right. The Bible says majority of people will die without Jesus. Did you know that? A majority of people will die without Jesus Christ and having the blood applied to their life. Listen to what Jesus Christ says. Enter you at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Jesus Christ himself says, most people are going to die without me. That's why you can listen to some preachers and Colosseums. They never mention anything about the blood of Christ. And you think, well, man, they have a massive following. But Jesus himself says the masses are not going to follow him. That's exactly what Jesus said. He said there's going to be a few. There's going to be those who've really been redeemed. And you see, the reality is sometimes some people say, well, I simply don't believe that I'm going to die without Jesus. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. I would not hurt your feelings, but I'm going to tell you this. You may believe what you want, but here is the factual reality of your being. You was born a sinner. Doesn't matter what you believe in your mind, you are under Adam. Out of Adam and Eve came every single human being on the face of the earth. I mean, you go back far enough. Some of you can trace your lineage. Some of you can trace it further. But here's the fact. Every one of us came out of Adam. And if you don't believe, you're going to need the blood of Christ. And here's the reality. At the end of your life, you're going to miss out on heaven because it's only one way. And you see, the truth is, many people believe that, I believe something sincere. I've been around some very interesting people in my lifetime and some things they really believe that's sincere, and some of it is real wild. And they're honest about it. And they'll say, well, Benny, I believe this, and I know that I'm going to go to heaven. And I know that there's absolutely no sense in me trying to debate them. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Is there only one God in the universe? Amen? He is the sovereign God. He is the one that has established the only way whereby you and I can enter into his presence. Listen, he is the sovereign of the universe, and he is the one who says so. He is the one who says how you and I get into heaven, how you get into heaven. And you see, you can look at the Old Testament, and you find a tremendous sacrificial system set up. God established it. He established it that the high priest could enter into his presence one day a year. On the Day of Atonement, they could go in, and they would sacrifice an animal, and they would cut the animal open. They'd let the blood shed. Why? Exactly the verse you and I read. Because God Almighty has established this. Without the shedding of blood, you cannot be forgiven. Without the shedding of blood, I can't be forgiven. And God makes it very clear that you're in a need. I'm in a need. And second of all, the blood of Christ is man's greatest need because who God is. Now sometimes, and listen to me very carefully, and I say this lovingly, please listen to me carefully. Some of you say, and you may say it as a habit from time to time, I just want to thank the man upstairs. Would you listen to me very carefully? And I say this as lovingly as I know how. God is not that. When you say, I just want to thank the man upstairs, God is not a man.
the sovereign God, the Bible says, is holy. Now, do you understand what the word holy means? Let me just give you an example of what holy means. Every one of you have some things holy in your home. For example, I have a few cups in my house that are holy for coffee. What do you mean, Pastor? Are they spiritual for coffee? No, I don't mean that. I mean, the word holy means set apart. You know, I don't drink pop in them or milk in them. I use coffee. And that's what the word set apart, holy, means. The Bible says that the God you and I serve is set apart from man. In other words, he is absolutely pure through and through. You do not even, and I cannot even understand purity in that realm. But the Bible makes it very clear. You know, God is free from all evil. He's free from all sin. So how can you have a relationship with him? If God can't be touched by sin, how can he do it? Listen, you look at the Old Testament, and he devised a tremendously wonderful method through the blood of offerings so that man could have a relationship with him. But here's the problem. You're still a sinner. The Bible says that God could not forgive sin in the Old Testament. It was simply a covering. And Jesus Christ, when he came onto the scene, he was both the perfect sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. You say, why is that so important? It's a big deal because you want to go to heaven when you die. But there is no other way except through Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, unless a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. And you see, the Bible says God is pure. He is holy. He's set apart. You're sinful. How are you going to go to heaven with a holy God, a morally pure God, a perfect God, and you're sinful? God has established the blood of Jesus Christ. And you see, since God is morally pure and righteous and just, we can't go without the blood of Christ. You see, you and I have need of the blood because of who Christ is. And in our warped thinking, listen carefully, and I say this in love, listen carefully. We have so many conjured beliefs of God that are so inconsistent with Scripture. We think that, God is pleased with me. Listen, God is pleased because he sees you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God can never tolerate sin in any way. You want to get an idea of how God cannot tolerate sin? Go back and look at Moses. God was getting ready to kill Moses because Moses failed to obey the commandments of God in circumcising his son. God was getting ready to destroy Moses before the first day of his mission. Why? Because our God is a holy God. You can't go to heaven by yourself. You are absolutely bankrupt apart from the blood of Christ. And the truth about it is, there's a lot of people saying, well, you know what? I just do the best I can. And surely this God, he's going to look, you're going to find yourself dead someday on the other side of eternity, and you're going to wake up then. That's exactly the reality of the rich young man. He didn't wake up seemingly on this side of life. One man said that he's kept all the commandments. But on the other side of life, when you wake up and find yourself separated from God, you're going to find out how seriously you needed the blood of Christ, because it is the only means whereby you can have a relationship with God. And that's exactly what Peter was saying. You can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You see, as the Bible says, as in Adam, everybody dies. I'm a sinner by nature. You're a sinner by nature. Well, how can God take me to heaven? I'll show you that in just a moment. But the Bible makes it very clear. You see, the reality is God is always holy. He's always been holy. He'll always be holy. And you're a sinner by nature. You'll always be a sinner by nature. And yet, God has a means whereby you can go to heaven. Now, some of you are thinking, well, you know, what if I don't have the blood of Christ applied to my life? Just listen carefully. But here's the reality. The blood of Christ is your greatest need. Because first of all, you've got a problem. You're a sinner. Second of all, here is God. He can't look upon sin. But third of all, follow along on your outline. Because of who Jesus is. Now, there are some people who say, well, Jesus is a wonderful teacher. He was a wonderful preacher. He was a wonderful prophet. But he wasn't God. Well, that's absolutely erroneous, and that's absolutely inconsistent with the Word of God. Because the Bible says he was and he is, and he's coming back again. The Bible says he was God in the flesh. And here's exactly why he came to this earth. He came to provide a shed blood offering for your sins. If you want to get an idea of how bad your sins are before a holy God, all you have to do is just look at blood. That's exactly what it costs to get your freedom. And you see, the Bible makes it clear. For God to have a relationship with you, it's got to be by blood. Why couldn't God say from eternity past, well, I'm going to forgive man without Jesus Christ? He cannot. The Bible says the nature of God, he cannot even have anything to do with sin. Therefore, no sinner will ever go to heaven. No sinner can ever go to heaven. God must cease to be God if he allows a sinner to ever come into heaven apart from a changed nature. That's why some of you are in trouble. Some of you are trying to do the best you can, and you're trying to believe what you want to believe. But here is the fact of Scripture. You are a sinner by nature, and you can't change that. I'll give you an example. You get in a real tight fix sometimes, and out comes a, You ever do that? Or you slam the door on your finger, and out comes a, Somebody gets behind you and you've got to be at a certain place yesterday. Or somebody pulls over right in front of you on the interstate and they don't give you, and out blurts a, and your wife may be sitting there, her husband may be, honey, did you say that? You know what? We show we're sinners. We reveal we're sinners. And here's what God says about the sinner. In Ezekiel chapter 18, I want you to listen. The soul that sinneth, it must die. Friend, here's the news about your life. You're a sinner by nature. Without the shed blood applied to your life, you're going to die. You have to die because of rejecting the blood of Jesus Christ. And you see, this idea, you know, well, I'm good enough myself. Well, that's a belief. Listen, there's a lot of people who believe a lot of stuff. But is it going to stand the scrutiny of the judgment of God? I'll give you an example. You and I have seen houses destroyed and recently. We've seen pictures because they couldn't withstand the scrutiny of the tornadic winds. Is your belief system going to withstand the scrutiny of the wrath of God, the judgment of God? And you see, the Bible makes it very clear, the soul that sins will die. And that's why you need the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life. Jesus didn't go to the cross and die on the cross, shed his life's blood just to have a good time. Because you and I are sinners. Listen, nobody sheds their blood for fun. But your soul is at risk. Your soul is in jeopardy. Jesus himself said, what does it gain if a man profit a man who gains the whole world and lose his own soul? You can lose your soul. The reality of so many people believe that, and you hear it said all the time, well, he was a good man, I guess he's in heaven. The truth about it is we're going to find on the other side of life, majority of people didn't make it. And there's going to be a lot of church members that didn't make it because they never had the blood of Christ applied to their life. And you see, think of who Jesus is. He's the very embodiment of God. He is God in the flesh. Now, here is holy God, but for anybody to have a relationship with God, there has to be a perfect sacrifice, a perfect offering by a perfect person. Anybody here fit those standards? Stand up. Anybody here been perfect from inception, from conception? Anybody here had a perfect life? There's not a man, woman, boy that has ever lived that is perfect. And you see, here's what the Bible says, and I love the way it says it in the Living Bible. For God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sin. You know what happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross? All of your sin, past, present, and future, was in the person of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? If you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you can't pay for your sin. Why? Because it's already been paid for. Have you ever tried to pay for a meal when somebody else has already paid for it? You know, sometimes, you know, you'll walk up to the checkout counter and you'll want to pay for it and they'll say, it's already been paid for. Say, no, I want to pay for my meal. No, it's already been paid for. That'll drive somebody. Listen, you can't pay for your sin if you're a born-again believer. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ is. Listen, sometimes you're beating yourself over the head, and here's why you beat yourself. Because you forget Jesus Christ paid for your sin. Now, let me ask you a question. If Jesus paid for your sin, what do you have to do for your sin? Nothing. It's been paid for. As a matter of fact, you know, since Jesus is free from sin, here's what God says. All who truly believe in him shall be saved. And you and I said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, what? Believeth in him should not perish. But you know, we live in a world system where people are saying, well, I believe I can go to heaven without Jesus. I'm sorry, he's the only standard. There is no way for you to enter heaven apart from the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It simply is not there. People can tell you one thing. They can tell you, you know, do this, do this, do this, do that. But there is absolutely no way of entrance into heaven but by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because here's what happened. When Jesus Christ shed his blood, there was a number of things that God did. Now, I just want to go through these. I wish I had a long time to elaborate on them, but time won't allow me. But here's exactly what happened first of all. First of all, the Bible says Jesus' blood provides redemption. Now, sometimes we get hung up on the big words like redemption and justification. But let me just tell you exactly what happened. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he bought you back from a slavery of sin. You're here and you're a sinner and you don't have Jesus Christ in your life. Let me tell you why your life doesn't run right. You don't have the power to get your life to run right. You don't have that power. Only God can give you the power. And that's exactly what God does to a person. There is a miracle that takes place when a person places their faith in Jesus Christ. God, the Bible says, has bought you back. God cannot send me to hell. Ain't that wonderful? You're a child of God. You say, you know, some people will say, well, why don't you go to, and then they'll say that terrible word. Sometimes if somebody says to you and they're mad at you, well, why don't you just go to and just say, I'm sorry, I can't. You know, sometimes they'll just say, and they'll use that derogatory word, they're mad at you and frustrated. Well, you can go to. Sometimes y'all just be bold enough to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And you can't. Why? Because Jesus Christ has paid for your sin. You are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ if you're a genuine born-again believer. That's why you don't have to worry about the wrath of God, the judgment of God. You don't have to worry about that. David the king said, I'm not going to be afraid even if the world blows up. Why? Because I have a relationship with God based on faith, and that's what you and I do. You have a relationship with God based on faith. Faith in what? Faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And you see, you know you can't do the best you can. I mean, you know you're going to have some blunders and failures. Wives, have your husbands sinned recently? Don't answer that. Husbands, have your wife sinned recently? Well, we live in this body. We're going to live in this body till the day we die. But the Bible says you and I have been redeemed. We've been bought back. I have not only God as my creator, but I have him as my father. Now think about this for a moment. What crisis is there in life when you back up and realize this God who runs the world is my dad? There is no crisis in your life when you back up and realize, hey, that's my dad. That's my father. And second of all, not only have you been bought back if you're a child of God, but the blood of Jesus Christ provides forgiveness. There are so many people who are beating themselves over the head over things they've done in the past. There are people that I know that have committed murder and have come to Christ. I know some people that have committed acts of rape and have come to Christ. And here's something they have a hard time doing. They have a hard time forgiving themselves. But listen to me very carefully. When you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, he washed away how many of your sins? Part or all? All. So why do you beat yourself up? Listen, that's exactly what the blood of Jesus Christ did for your sin. You don't have to beat yourself up. The blood of Jesus Christ has brought you forgiveness. That's why God can look at you and he can hear your prayers and answer your prayers. Why? Because God looks at you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's not prayer that gets salvation. The Bible says it's through the blood of Christ that we're saved. Listen, you could pray till you die, but if you don't pray and place your faith in Jesus Christ who shed his blood, there is no salvation. And the Bible makes it very clear. He paid for our sins in full. And think about this for a moment. If somebody went down to the bank for you and paid off your home in full, how many more payments would you have to make on it? None. Maybe you got a letter from the bank and they said, this is to be anonymous, but your house is paid in full. But you know what you'd do from then on? You'd want to run down to the bank and give them $1,000 each month just for goodness sake, wouldn't you? No, or $500 or whatever it be. You would be so appreciative. You'd be freed. Now listen to me very carefully. The blood of Jesus Christ has freed us of all of our sins. So God wants you to live in freedom. He don't want you to live beating yourself up. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ has forgiven you. That's exactly what the blood of Jesus Christ is for. And you see, the thing about it is, it's bought forgiveness for you and me. And not only that, but the blood of Jesus Christ provided justification. Now, when you hear that word, if you're like me, when I first heard it years ago, I thought, whoa, that's a big word. But let me break it down for a moment. If you've ever been in a courtroom, there are certain things that are done as legal decisions. When Jesus Christ, listen carefully, I want you to listen to me real carefully. I want to say this real slowly. I want you to listen. If I pointed to you and called you by name, if I said, I'll just pick out one right here. I said, would Righteous Carl stand up? Or if I went over here and I said, would Righteous Mike stand up? Chances are, one of the first things they would say to me, say, Pastor, outside of saying, please don't pick on me in public, but, you know, I'm not righteous. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. Are you listening? Say amen. Five of you didn't. I want you to listen. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, the act of his blood payment at the cross, by God's standard, not your standard or mine, but by God's standard, when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, God declared you, God declared me righteous. Why? Not because of anything I've done. It's imputed or input. In other words, if I put $1 million into your bank account, that's maybe you've got $200, that'd be together, but it'd be a whole lot more money. Well, I would input into your account. God has input into you and to me righteousness. Why? Because when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, he sees you through the blood of Christ. That's why whenever he comes again, he's going to rapture the church. He's going to see you and he's going to see the blood of Christ applied to every single man, woman, boy, or girl that has placed their genuine faith. And if you're just pretending, God is going to know and you're going to be left behind. Because the Bible says he has declared you righteous. Now, I don't know about you, but that gets me excited because what that means is I am right with the living God. What have I done to be right with the living God? Nothing in and of myself. Listen, you can't read 50-11 chapters a day. You can't go to church from sunrise to sunset. You can't do anything enough to be declared righteous before God. But here's what God did. When his son died on the cross, shed his life's blood for you, you bowed your knee and you believed that Jesus Christ died. You said, Lord Jesus, I invite you to be my Savior. I believe in your blood payment. When you prayed that prayer, meaning God declared you right with him. And you know what happens then? He sees you, he adopts you as a son or a daughter. How would you like to be adopted by the Queen of England? How would you like to be adopted where the money just flows? And well, listen, you have been adopted into the family of God. And the Bible says through the blood of Christ, you have been declared right with God. That's why you don't want to sin. Listen, if you want to sin and want to behave like a sinner and act like a sinner and live like a sinner, it's a good reality. You've never been saved. But the Bible says that God has declared you righteous. In other words, you don't have to try to be. He has declared you righteous. And you know what? You don't have to worry about God being your enemy. Sadly, listen carefully. There are a lot of believers who always think God is on to them for something. You know, one of the problems is they don't understand who their dad is. Your father is loving you every step of the way. There's doors he's shutting in your life, and he's shutting them on purpose for your best. There are things he's doing in your life that you really don't appreciate right now, but you'll appreciate it later on. Because here's why. He is your father. You're in the family. And you have a part of his nature. And so, listen, that's exactly what happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross. He provided for you and me that redemption and that justification and forgiveness. And not only that, but he provided for you and me reconciliation. Now, what in the world does that word mean? Well, let's just look at it this way. Here's a husband and wife. They've been in the outs one with another. They've been in friction and fussing and fighting. But after a period of time, one starts doing some things to bring about a relationship. That's exactly what happened. The Bible says, you used to be far away. Here's a horrible thing to think about, but here's the reality. Apart from the blood of Jesus Christ, you and I are doomed, and God is going to rain his wrath on us. That's the facts. That's the facts according to Holy God. Because God must. Now listen, you don't hear this preached a lot because it's not really user-friendly, but friend, it's the truth. God must destroy the wicked because he's morally pure. He is perfect. Nothing is going to enter into his heaven that is not pure. Well, how do you enter into heaven? Because when God looks at you, he sees the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life. Whenever you get ready to leave this world, maybe you've got 10 minutes before you walk home, you're struggling to breathe, and you've got a few thoughts left, and you think, I didn't live a perfect life. I did some things I wish I'd never done. But you know what? You have a relationship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. You didn't do anything for your salvation. Now, there's some people say, well, you know what? I walked down the aisle and I got saved. No, you responded to the working of God. You responded to the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God. And the reality about it is, every one of you in this building, I can guarantee you, based on the Word of God, you know where you're going when you die. Some of you may be pretending because you're thinking, I'm doing the best I can. Friend, if you can say that, you're going to be doomed. If you walk through this life and then you breathe your last breath with that type of reality, because God can't accept you into heaven. The Bible says, the soul that sins, it must die. But you see, the wonderful thing about God's forgiveness is this. You don't need to live in guilt. Here's what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of some unrighteousness, right? Wrong. All unrighteous. You say, well, Pastor, I did some things this week that I shouldn't have done. How do I get right with God? Own up to him. Own up to what you did. Own up to what you said. But you see, here's the reality. Let's suppose Jesus Christ is coming back in 10 seconds. And I'm going to count down. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. You say, Pastor, I'm still here. But let me tell you what happened in some of your spirits. Some of you got real scared real fast. Because here's what you know. You know that your belief in going to heaven is doing the best you can. And friend, God has called this servant to teach and to preach you the truth. And I have to tell you this, some of you, this time next year, won't be here. One out of every 113 people die per year. So that means one of us, maybe two of us, will not be here next year. One or two of us. But here's the reality. You will be someplace based on your belief in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, you can say, well, I don't really understand it all. Well, welcome to reality. None of us do. Only God in heaven does. But here's the thing about it. And I say this to those of you that are redeemed. Isn't it good to know that if the Lord concluded this world today and called us home through the rapture, that we know that we'd be in those that'd be raptured and taken home. Amen? But some of you couldn't say that. And some of you are toying with your soul. God loves you enough that He will never varnish the truth. He will never tell you something and sugarcoat it. For example, when you hear the words, the soul that sinneth, it will die. I don't know how much plainer you can get. There's a lot of people that are going to toy with their soul like the rich young ruler. And he's going to stumble over and end up in eternity. And you're going to find when you close your eyes in death what the price of rejecting the blood of Jesus Christ really did to you. And you're going to be in your eternity forever. And you're going to despise some preachers for their soft peddling of the gospel or what was supposed to be, because they didn't preach the truth. They didn't preach about an eternity of heaven and hell. Friend, Jesus Christ Himself talks about a place where the worm dies not, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And He goes on in other descriptive ways. And I don't know about you, but I thank God I'm not going there. I thank God that's not my eternal home. But if you died today without the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life, friend, there's no other place for you to go. There's only two places, heaven or hell, torment. And you see, Jesus said, Paul said, Peter said, John said, unless you repent, you will all likewise, say the one last word with me, perish. Will you perish? Will you be one that perishes because you just, I just don't like that blood stuff. Am I going to stand here and tell you I love it? Because I'm a sinner? Here's what I know. I know I need the blood. I know there's no future for me apart from the blood. Because we're all made the same way. And we all are sinners. Friend, a lot of things will come and go in life, but here's one thing that will keep on going forever and ever, and that's you. You will never cease to exist. You can't. You are an eternal being. You'll continue to live forever and ever. But will you place your faith in the blood of Christ? Or will you pay for your sins yourself? That's your only two decisions. With every head bowed, every eye closed, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and right where you're sitting, sir, ma'am, you know with all of your heart that you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart and your life. You know that the blood has not been applied to your life. I'm not going to ask you to raise hands. I want this to be a holy time, treating that place where you're sitting as an altar before God. I want to ask you this question. Number one, are you ready to stand before God? Do you know you're saved? Would you answer that in your heart, either yes or no? Would you just say that answer in your being right now? In your heart of hearts, many of you said yes. Some of you said no. Some of you didn't want to answer it because you don't like the answer you're going to hear. Friend, God loves you. That's why His Son shed His blood for you, so you could have eternal life, so you can know you're going to heaven when you die. Right where you're sitting, would you like to invite Christ into your heart? You can do that right now, right where you're sitting, by praying this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that the blood of Christ has not been applied to my life. But Lord Jesus, right here and now, I place my faith in the shed blood of Christ. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. And Father, your Holy Spirit is working in hearts and lives. And Father, for that person who prayed that prayer, they were just saved. If they meant it from the very core of their being, as the Word of God bore witness with the Spirit of God. Father, I pray. I pray for that person who prayed that prayer to publicly say, I've invited Christ into my heart. Father, I pray for those here who are not sure. They walked the aisle one time years ago, but they're not sure. They're not secure in knowing where they would go when they die. They don't have that inner security. They're hoping they'll get to heaven. But Lord, when they're breathing their last breath, they don't want to leave it to any chance. Father, draw whom you will by the power of your Holy Spirit. Is our prayer, is our request. In Jesus we pray. Amen.